Yeah. Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the trip.
Real wrestling community, how is it going, everybody? My name is Junkyard James. Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. It's our Saturday show, and once again, for one specific reason we'll get to here in just a moment, I'm having to change the setup of the show today. We have the monologue that'll end the show like normal. But I gotta spend a little bit of time today, discussing some things. But first, before we get into that, you got four icons at the top of the screen there. I need you to smash that like button, leave us a comment, share this video, subscribe, and hit that notification bell. Thank you for joining the Junkyard Media Group and the their YouTube page and supporting this podcast. Join the Discord, and that's the source of the first conversation. So we'll talk more about the Discord here in just a moment. We got to thank our affiliate partner that partners with us. That's Dubby Energy. Get you some of that Dubby Energy at Dubby.gg. And hey, guess what? We got a code for you. If you use code Beyond the Yard at Dubby.gg checkout, you get 10% off of your order, and you can help support us and our content. And we greatly appreciate it. I'll tell you what, W Energy, their energy mixes are really good. They're coming out with new hydration mixes. That way, if you don't want caffeine, but you still want good tasting hydration, you can use some of those hydration packs that they're coming out with. You should just check out W.GG. Their flavors are always good, and you can save a little bit of money off of it and help support a growing company and the industry of the energy drinks. That's W.GG. Thanks to all of our other partners as well: StubHub, WWE Shop, RSS.com. All of those links will be in the description below. But let's get into some content. Why shouldn't we? All right. The Discord. There's going to be a link to the Discord. It's going to be called the Real Wrestling Community Discord page, but there's going to be some changes to the Discord. So prior, there was a page that I was helping run called the Real Wrestling Community. I came up with that name. I came up with that logo based off of a slogan that was used by a host of the, I don't know, he keeps changing the name of his show, the Slapping Meat Community Show. It's my brother. And we were running this Discord page together. And ultimately, I guess he decided at a moment's notice without any prior discussion that he wanted to change the vibe of what the Discord server wanted to be. He no longer wanted it to be like a place where you came and discussed wrestling. And I didn't get the memo. So I was doing what I was doing. Like, to me, this was a wrestling server. This is where we wanted to talk about wrestling news. Apparently, the vibes have changed over there. And I'll get into that in a little bit of bigger detail. So we're in a difference of creative opinion. That server is technically his server. He's the runner of the server. So I've created, I just told him here's the deal. Well, I'm going to create my own server, but I'm keeping the name. I'm keeping the Real Wrestling Community. Cause that was my brain power. I created that. I came up with that and I'm keeping the logo. You're going to have to come up with something else. And then I left the server because there was, here's the deal. He wanted it to be a place where him and his three or four buddies can just sit there and chat about life. And that's great. But you don't do that on a wrestling server, right? This is a wrestling server. If you want people to talk about life, you create another server, you create a group chat, right? You don't need a full server to just communicate about life. This is a wrestling server. And so I was posting WWE news where there were channels and categories in Discord for WWE and AEW and all these other stuff. And so I was putting WWE stuff that I wanted to talk about in the WWE chat and AEW stuff in the AEW chat. Like I had always done for the past however long I've been in that Discord server. And suddenly, because they don't think the product is good anymore, they don't want to talk about wrestling on a day-to-day basis anymore, I'm in the wrong for wanting that, for posting my opinion, right? And an argument started, right? So there, as much as he wants to say he doesn't care about WWE's product, he is super hyper defensive of WWE's product. And so are his little buddies that he hangs out with and he caters to, and he literally created an entire podcast to just serve their best interest, right? He caters to every decision and every ask that they want so that he can keep his little three or four man podcast, right? And so that, I think that's where the creative differences start. And I'm not saying he's wrong for doing it the way that he's doing it, right? But to him, this is just a hobby. This is just a passion project. He doesn't care if it grows and if it's a success. For me, I want this podcast, and I treat this podcast as if it's a second job. Like, I take a lot of time planning what we're going to talk about, researching some of the stuff that we're going to talk about. I know Cody literally pays money to get WrestleTicks, and we decided, hey, we have StubHub as a partner. By the way, if you want, you can use that StubHub link in the description to get some to help support the podcast and get all of your sporting needs. But like, we partner with StubHub. What's a good way not to promote the StubHub affiliation than having a conversation about ticket news, right? Duh, it makes absolute sense that we would do that, right? And he pays monthly cost to talk about, you know, to get this ticket information. And so there's money being invested in it. I pay for, you know, two Patreon subscriptions, right? I pay for WrestleNomics, Brandon Thurston's group, great information on ratings and year to date and all of the quarterlies. So when I talk about that, it's coming from that source. And then I pay for Fightful Select, Sean Ross Sapp. I still pay for it. I know me and him had a beef in the past, but I still think he's the best in the industry. And I've kind of squashed that whole beef with him, and I don't take it personally, right? But I pay money for this. Like, I don't. And so to me, this is something that I want to grow into something bigger. And organically, I hope that it hits. So yeah, I'm passionate about wrestling. Like, and I'll just be completely, I'll keep it a buck. If Fightful or if Wrestle Observer or Wrestle Purist or Wrestle Talk or whatever, if they had a spot open and they were willing to give me an opportunity to create a, you know, move this podcast to their platform or write for them or work for them and the money's right, I would do it. You know what I mean? Like, I love pro wrestling. Outside of professional football, and even in some aspects college football, like, wrestling is probably one of my favorite things to watch, things to get invested in, And I act the same way about pro wrestling that I do about football, because it's something that I love, right? And the same, right? If my favorite football team, the Buffalo Bills, offered me a job to do content creation for them or something with them, I would move to Buffalo tomorrow and work for them, because I love the team. And in the same, like, I like pro wrestling, right? So this means something to me. So yeah, they may not want to talk about pro wrestling on a daily basis, but I do. And I'm trying to get people into that platform. I tried so hard to get people into that Discord. And every time somebody joined in, I think what they saw was just the first thing they are greeted with is, hey, there's a guy with an AEW opinion and he gets, you know, triple tag teamed. It's a 3-on-1 handicap match. Because he has an AEW opinion, or he thinks WWE is whack. Right, because the people who are in this server and are closely connected to that server, you know, blood is thicker than water. They're going to hold to their alliances. Right, all right. Well, what got us to that point was, so I made a tweet. I made a tweet yesterday because, and just FYI, later on in the show, we're going to talk about these releases that WWE did today, or last night, but I made a tweet before I saw any of the releases. It's now almost been 24 hours from the point of this inception, right? I made a tweet, because I saw an image of basically the development system of WWE. So you start with NIL or WWE ID, depending on if you're an indie wrestler or a college athlete. You'll start through NIL or WWE ID. Then at some point, if you progress, you go to Evolve and LFG. And if you progress there, you go to NXT. And then if you progress, then you can go to the main roster, Raw or SmackDown. And I made a tweet that I didn't think was super, like, I didn't think it was that much of a hot button issue, but I said, imagine having to climb this ladder just to get to the top and be told that a 50-year-old part-timer gets more TV time than you because he sells more t-shirts. WWE's development system is whack. Isn't that not the truth? Isn't that what happened to Carmelo Hayes? He was the top dog at NXT, and now he's shuffled to, like, low mid card, but behind the likes of John Cena and CM Punk and Brock Lesnar, because they sell more merch. Isn't that not the truth? That you spend all of this time, imagine being one of those wrestlers. And you work your way. Imagine if you're a WWE ID person. And you start an ID and you get noticed, and then they sign you to Evolve or whatever, and then you go to NXT. Imagine you spend years of your life training to get to the top of WWE on a whim, on a promise that you could be the next big thing. And you finally get to that moment. And a 50-year-old man living off nostalgia, or Matt and Jeff Hardy and the Dudley Boys, takes TV time from you, takes NXT tag championship gold from you, takes your moment away from you. Imagine, how would that make you feel if you busted your ass for years, right? So to even get noticed to get on ID, you would have had to start training as an indie wrestler. You know, like, so I would imagine this whole process of getting from ID to Raw or SmackDown probably takes several years, right? Like, they're not going to take you from ID and immediately send you to the main roster. You're going to have to grind and work and do all of it. And that's great. That's a great development system. But imagine wasting years of your life, or maybe not wasting, but spending years of your life busting your tail, earning your dues just to get to the main roster and for them to say, we have no creative plan for you. You got here. Congratulations. But John Cena sells more merch, or Brock Lesnar sells more merch, or CM Punk sells more merch, so we're going to give them your TV time. We could send you back to NXT. You'll get TV time on NXT. We could send you back to Evolve. You can be the next big thing in Evolve, but you don't have TV time here at the top. Imagine, like, and this is why I don't like having this closed circuit developmental system. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But that's the only point of my tweet was to say, imagine having to climb this ladder just to be told you don't get any TV time because some guy sells TV more t-shirts than you, right? And you don't have an opportunity to become the person that gets t-shirts sold. It's like starting at an entry-level job and then trying, and you're climbing the ladder just to get to like a management position, and you're being told you don't have enough management experience to be a manager. So they're not going to give you the job. They're going to give it to some guy that's, you know. Well, yeah, I don't have experience in this position because no one will give me the opportunity to gain experience. What about my experience and what about my grind doing other jobs? What about the times when I was doing management level work without the job title? Does that not count? Does the resume not count? You know, does the things that don't get seen on just a piece of paper not count? And so I made this post. And I didn't think it would be that much of a hot button topic, because I've done this before in the Discord. In that Discord where I would post my tweets and it just no one said anything. So I thought, oh, this would probably happen again. Oh no. Apparently this was a day that they were in full defense mode and they 3-on-1 tag teamed me like they always do. And I held my own. Like when the ad hominem attacks start flying, you know you've held your own. When they start saying that you're backtracking even though you're not, you know you've held your own. When they start muting you or putting you in timeout because you're cooking them, you know you've held your own. And all of that happened. And then apparently I upset him so much that he made a special edition of his podcast, which I don't know why he did it. It's like 50 minutes long. Was basically about this entire discussion that we had. And I want to read some of the transcript, right? Because it's about me, right? I think I have the free ability to respond. He says, you could say whatever you want, but we try to keep it chill. What free speech doesn't say, though, is that you can spam every single day, constant critiques of things that ruin the environment. Once you start to change the environment, he says, at one point in time, like, I just don't want you, this is what he says. So he's talking about how he allowed me and Cody to start promoting our podcast on his server. And so this is what he had to say on this. Look, I just don't want you freeloading here, he says. Here's what comes with me letting you use my podcast, essentially. It's an understanding that it's not your server. You can promote, but it's not your server. He says... He then goes on to talk about me in ways like this. He says, James posts things on purpose. It's one of those so-called dishonest things that he does, basically saying that I just post stuff for clickbait and for views. He says he doesn't promote his podcast on social media because he's not good at podcast promotion. Bro, that's not my fault. Don't get upset with me. Learn the game. There's free courses that you can take on how to promote your, you know, there's free marketing classes you can take. It's not that hard to promote your podcast. You know, it's just literally copy the link, post it, give a catchy subheading. Hey, listen to my podcast, post it. Boom. That's all I do. I don't promote it very hard. I don't spend ad money. I don't promote it that hard, but you could just post a link in your server, and people, if people want to click it, then they'll click it. He says basically that, I try to post things to get clicks and to get views and to get engagement. And then he pulls up my tweet, and apparently at the time that he recorded it, my tweet only had 17 views. It now has like, 39 views. Again, I don't do this for engagement. I don't get engagement. Like, if I got engagement, this podcast would be one of the, you know, would get more views than it does. Like, I'm lucky. We could be honest that if an episode of this podcast gets, you know, 40 views, I'm happy. Like, I don't do this for monetization at this point. I'm trying to grow the people. I'm trying to grow the base. 42 views on it, on that post. And I think that was his gotcha right there. Like, again, the ad hominem attacks. Man, you're doing this and it's not even working. It's basically what he's saying, right? Basically goes off saying that I don't know how the business works. I don't know how business works. I don't blah, 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 you know, how all of that, like as if he's some gold standard of how the business works. But yeah. And then he spends the rest of the time ranting about how the independent scene is just dumb. And a lot of indie wrestlers suck. It's a big F you to the indie scene and a big, you know, I'm going to suck the whatever needs to be sucked of the WWE. And so it is what it is, right? But let me respond. Again, I don't do this to get clicks. I don't get this to do views. What I post on my social media is what I post on my social media, and it's what I believe. And yeah, I'm trying to get engagement in a wrestling Discord server. Again, if you want it to change the vibe, give us a heads up. Like I'm still a part of another wrestling server. And the guy who runs that server, very cool guy. We disagree on wrestling, but he's still a very cool guy. I respect him a lot. I think his opinions are really well informed from his perspective of the business. And from time to time, he'll go through periods of the server where the layout of the server isn't what he wants it to be. But he'll give us notice. Hey, we're changing the server around a little bit, guys. We're going to close some threads. We're going to create new channels. We're going to try and change things up a little bit, right? But he gives us notice. That way we're aware, okay, changes are happening. Let's work. I can't commit to change that I don't know happens. So apparently the vibes changed and they didn't want to talk about wrestling. But I love talking about wrestling. This is a wrestling server, or so I thought. So apparently I was impacting the environment. But no one in that server was man or woman enough to come to me in private and say, bro, you're ruining the environment. I was clueless. But that's what they do because they love to gang tackle on me. And it's cool. So I told him I'm going to create my own server, right? He spends so much time saying, I don't know anything about business. Bruh. Like, I don't like doing this because I don't necessarily think education is the ultimate decision factor of whether or not you're educated in something. But I'm 7 months away from getting a master's degree in business. I think I know a little bit about business. I think I'm educated enough on how business is supposed to run to see that I can get through the bullshit that WWE is feeding us, that I can read through the lies that this is just a strategic partnership with AAA. And this is just a, you know, we just bought 51% of AAA. You know, it's still AAA. It's just new, you know, new majority owners. Bullshit. The new regime came in right away. I can read through the lies. I know business enough to know that WWE, and I know the wrestling business enough to know through history. See, that's the thing. They want to whitewash history. They want to erase history and not not see that WWE has done this before? Every time that there has been any form of formidable competition against WWE, they've done everything in their power to stifle it. They have already had to settle with MLW on an antitrust lawsuit for $20 million back in 23. And I wonder, is Tony Khan getting ready to... I mean, at some point in time, Tony Khan may just have enough of this constant counter-programming and constant stealing of talent and poaching and all of this stuff that WWE has done. I mean, at some point in time, if I was Tony Khan, I mean, there might be an antitrust lawsuit that I throw out. Right? Like, legit. Antitrust violations. You're not making a competitive atmosphere. But I know the business. I know about business to know that WWE is making good business in terms of monetary sense. But bro, the culture is whack. And this next generation, I mean, you're already seeing the digitalization of business structures. I mean, an indie promotion or OnlyFans or some other way of digital marketing, like people may not join WWE. It's not the only option anymore. Even with your current talent, if you don't give them what they think they deserve, they're going to leave and do what they think they, if they can get more money elsewhere, they're going to go. WWE doesn't have a grip of the changing market, and their fans don't understand that the marketplace has changed. They think this can still be big, bad 80s Vince McMahon, and it's not. There are formidable options outside of WWE and even outside of AEW and outside of the wrestling business in general. But they can make more money. Less risk on their body. I know the business atmosphere. And this next generation, I don't necessarily think they care so much so about who they work for, but rather the culture they work around. Every time somebody comes into AEW, you know what we hear? Great culture. Tony Khan's a great boss. Great place to work. Great place to hang out in the back. You don't so much so hear that in WWE. The times have changed. The culture matters a lot more than monetary compensation sometimes. And so, yeah, I know business structures. I'm not some uneducated guy. So when I post what I post, one, I'm not doing it for engagement or clicks. Two, I'm saying it because I really believe it. And I really believe it because I have some form of grip of the structure. He tried saying, I don't understand what NIL is. I know what NIL is. I know what that NIL program is doing. I understand that a lot of the people that are in NIL right now aren't eligible to wrestle. The point that I was trying to make isn't that on that NIL episode, right? Not even a month ago, like four episodes ago, I put in there, is the NIL program a failure? And I deem it a failure, not because they've developed and people just haven't turned out to be good wrestlers, but WWE is giving money to these people and promoting these people, and they're not even taking the tryout offer. You know, like, it's a failure because you're not retaining your interns, essentially. It's a failure because you have a 90% fail rate. You're spending a lot of time, money, and effort promoting, and they're get nothing out of these people. That's a fail. If you have a 90% non-retention rate, that's an issue. That's a poor developmental system. You're going to give money, time, and effort to promote somebody that doesn't even want to wrestle. The point of that entire episode was, this is a failure because the people that they're signing don't have passion for wrestling. They only care about the money. That was the entire point of that episode. And so you're misconstruing what I'm trying to say. And I can't fix that about you. You have to change yourself. You have to make those changes yourself. You have to understand that the context that I'm coming out of, see, you think that it's coming out of this, like, oh, this pure mad rage that I hate WWE. So I'm going to diss it at every opportunity. No, I want WWE to be good. I want to be able to tune on to Monday night. Like, I'd be willing to buy Netflix to watch it or to pay. I mean, I get it for free because I have Fubo. So I to watch the pay-per-views and feel like I'm entertained. Like, I truly want to be entertained by WWE. I'm just not. And then you see the behind-the-scenes stuff, the lawsuits that they're just kind of trying to get us to feel like it's not formidable. You do these releases at times, and we'll talk about those releases here in a minute, but you do releases like four times a year, and you put 90-day non-competes on a lot of these, or 30-day non-competes on the developmental contracts, and a lot of these people haven't been fully trained, so you know what happens is they stop wrestling, and now they've spent years of their life trying to get to a position in the wrestling industry, and they're left with nothing, and now they got to start over. But they can't do anything for 90 days in the entertainment metric. It's like, come on now. What are you doing? You're not developing talent really well. The handful that do well are just a handful. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that people want to talk about how great the performance center and how great the developmental system is in WWE, but its success rate is very low compared to its fail rate. If my company that I work for now had a retention rate of 10%, that business would fail to do any reasonable, you know what I mean, business. They'd go out of business really fast if they can't retain talent. And again, it's a little different because, you know, we're not, you know, we don't have contracts, but I mean, in a way, I have a 6-month obligation to the job that I have, right? I can't apply for another position for 6 months within my company. Once I get promoted, or if it's a salaried position, it's 12 months. You know what I mean? So I have an obligation to give that part of the business 12 months or 6 months of my career. If after 6 months I immediately leave, like, the HR department is going to ask questions. Why are they leaving after 6 months? Why can't you retain your people in your department? They're going to start questioning things. And so if this developmental contract, right? Or here's a better example. In the corporate world, a lot of companies now do what are called management development programs or management leadership programs. And it's like a 2-year program. And you learn through different rotations through every aspect of that business. And at the end of the 2-year program, they usually, if you succeed the program and you do well in the program, they typically offer you a management position at the company. If every time they go through this program, they get to the program, and let's just say there's 10 people every session, and only one of the 10 people get offered a position and 9 of them don't because they didn't do well in the program, you'd start to wonder why your program is doing so bad. You'd start to, like, change things up a little bit after 2 or 3 turns of this program, because you're wasting time. You're wasting resources. You're wasting money on people who ultimately bring nothing to the business after the development program. That's a waste of effort, right? It's a waste of time and money and resources that could go to other people, places, and things to help your business thrive. And so I'm not saying WWE is doing bad business. I mean, they're doing pretty good business, I would say, you know, with the help of TKO and the Saudi government. They're going to probably, and really high gates, and they're probably going to set a record in profit this year. But at the same time, here's the scary thing. AJ Styles is about to retire. I'm sure CM Punk doesn't have many years left. Cena's gone after December. Brock's probably retiring at WrestleMania or whatever, or the Minneapolis show. I don't know if that's a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam. I can't remember. I think it's SummerSlam. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to WWE currently. But a lot of your mainstay talent, they're probably going to leave in the next 2 or 3 years because they have such a, their top brass is pretty old. Like Seth Rollins probably has, you know, 5 good years left of his career. Same with Orton. You know, Finn Balor's up there in age. Damian Priest is up there in age. Where's the new people? Where's the new talent? Where's the development product? If nine out of right now, it may not hurt you. Right now, it may not hurt the WWE. But in 4 or 5 years, it may. Where's the development? Oh, you bring Obafemi up, who's handling NXT? You bring Trick Williams up, who's handling NXT? Jordan Grace and Blake Monroe and all of these other women, they get called up to the main roster. Where are they filling these spots? Right? Because they keep releasing these developmental talents. And I don't necessarily care if it's because the talent itself just isn't clicking, or if WWE just went in different directions, or if the talent just refused to sign a deal. That doesn't matter. The point of the matter is there's a very high fail rate with developing talent, getting talent even on TV. That's the point that I was trying to make. I got put in timeout. And then eventually I was basically put in a position to where he used the, it's my server card. If you want to talk wrestling, create your own. I basically got kicked out of the server without getting kicked out of the server. And that's where we're at. All right. But anyways, that's enough bloviating on that topic. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the Saturday show. It is the monologue. And today's monologue is going to be kind of quick. I don't want to keep this episode going for too long. But some WWE developmental talent got released last night, over the last couple of days, I guess you could say. Fightful Select free post NXT releases, according to Corey Hayes of Bodyslam.net, confirmed by Sean Rossap and the staff at Fightful Select. The following people have been released: Jamar Hampton, BJ Ray, Summer Sorrell, Hayes Jameson, Draco Knox, Jin Tala, Lance Noai, Stevie Turner, and Wes Lee. You know, yeah, that's right. Former, what is it? NXT North American Champion, Wes Lee. Released last night, and I saw those names last night, and I was like, you know what, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it on the podcast. And then I woke up this morning and it clicked when I saw this image that someone put on social media of all the people that were released. And I saw, oh, I mean, 60% or more of these people are women or people of color. And so I have to ask the question, and I hate to do this, but I think when a pattern is formed, it's good to question the patterns. And so I put this on social media as well, but I'll mention it here. I said, I don't want to be this person, but why is it when WWE does roster cuts, the majority of the talent are always women or people of color. I said, Wesley runs circles around the majority of people in NXT. I love Wesley. I remember when he was in the, the Rascals, TNA, before they partnered with even AEW, you know, Wesley was my guy. Trey Miguel and Zach Wentz, all great talent. And I wonder if maybe he goes back to TNA and joins the Rascals again. But it seems like the majority of talent for multiple cycles now, women or people of color, like the majority. Like I'm looking at the picture now again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 or 8. You include Jasmine Nixon there as well. You include Kaylee Ray and Zeta Steele. Like the last several people that haven't been retained or have been released, like 8 women. Of the remaining people, 1, 2, 3, 4 people, males of color, black men, or I'm including Lance Noaie because he's a person of color too. Only 2 white guys were cut this time. And usually race isn't an issue with me, right? Like, okay, the best people should get the spot, right? But this is, when over 70% of the people that get fired multiple rounds of releases are women or people of color, and it's not proportionate to the amount, the percentage of women and people of color that are in the company. Like if they're being released at a higher level than they're being hired, you start to maybe want to ask questions. Like if you went to the NBA, right? Where, or the NFL, where, we can be honest, the majority of an NFL or NBA roster is probably African American. And so we may be able to expect there's more African Americans playing at higher rates in the NBA or in the NFL. All right. So we're probably going to expect higher release rates, right? That it's not a perfect one-for-one argument, but we can expect that, right? But if we go to like WWE, I'm willing to bet that like women and people of color probably make up 40% of the roster, but they're being released at a 70 or 80% rate compared to, white men. there's maybe an issue with that. Like that might be DEI in the reverse. Like I want the best to play. I don't want there to be quotas on who gets fired and who doesn't. But when you're almost always releasing more black men or women in general than white men, that's probably an issue. You should probably take note of that pattern. Especially when one of them is Wes Lee. Especially when one of the black men released, and we can't prove this, but there's a good possibility he was released for his statements about Hulk Hogan when he passed away. And I hope to God it doesn't come out that that's the reason he was released, because that's an EEOC violation written right on it. Especially when Zeta Steele's one of the hottest indie wrestlers, especially when Jasmine Nix was in the main event picture in some way, shape, or form, maybe not wrestling wise, but she was with JC Jane and then cut off of TV. Especially when you gave in character, Stevie Turner was the manager of Evolve, and now she's gone, and there's other talent that keep their job that don't have as much you know, on screen time. Like, you're just cutting some of the best of your development program. You got to start to ask a couple questions. But that's not the biggest point. I'm here to tell you today, WWID is dead. Like I mentioned a couple episodes ago, I was talking about NIL and was it a failure? Like, you got to put WWID in that same category. Zeta's gone. Kylie Rae's gone. A couple other people had their contract pulled. Does WWI even exist? You gotta start to wonder, like, was it just a front to pull some of the top indie talent away from AEW? So they couldn't sign deals with AEW. And then now that they've gotten all that they could get out of them, they're fine to just cut the program when they realize that it actually takes a lot more time and effort to run and book indie shows than maybe they thought, because you know WWE was fronting some of that bill. Maybe they realized, we could just go back to the old school way of developing talent. You know, the NXT old way, where, like, Kalani Jordan was great. She didn't come through either program, I don't believe, and she was trained really well. And if we didn't give such a high marketability to some of our trainees, we can actually train them properly and then push them out after the proper training instead of feeling the pressure to have to get these people, you know, cooked through the machine as quickly as possible. Like, I remember when Alexa Bliss and maybe even Angelo Dawkins went through NXT development, it took them years and several gimmick changes to even get to a proper place. And now they're some of the best places. WWE doesn't train the same way they used to train. You don't have as long of a period of time to learn where you fit in WWE. You have one contract, and if you can't get it, they're going to cut you. The system is dead. The system was used, again, in my opinion, to hoard as much indie talent as possible so that they couldn't work AEW, they couldn't work CMLL, they couldn't work New Japan, they couldn't work. I mean, in many cases, I don't think they even really worked on TNA. Like, they were working in these really small WWE-approved shows. HOG, GCW, you know, but not any of the main indie shows. GCW is a big one. Tell me if I was wrong. Did anybody ever work a Progress or a Defy show that partnered with ID? I can't say they did or not. Did they work a Rev Pro show? I can't say they did. So it was just to hoard them and put them into WWE approved indie shows. That's all it was, right? But it seems like it's dead. It seems like it's dead now. It seems like they don't give a shit about the indie scene anymore. And maybe for good measure. Maybe this is actually good. I remember when they first announced WWE ID, I said this may be the death of the indie scene. But what I failed to remember was a lot of these indie promotions are very resilient and they've gone through tough times before. And this may be the death of WWE ID. WWE ID may have died before the indie scene. And that's truly remarkable given the capacity and power and money and resources that WWE had, that if they did it right, they could have legitimately killed the indie scene off. And they just seem to implemented, they kind of, I don't want to say lied to, but maybe deceived some of this indie talent. You could be the next best thing. You could be the next star. We'll give you guaranteed money. That's a big thing for an indie wrestler. Guaranteed money. Yeah, I'll take it. And then they just do nothing with you. Oh, you get access to some of the greatest training schools of all time. And we'll pay for it. We'll pay you for it. I mean, I could train in the Performance Center. I can train in Seth Rollins' gym. I can train with Booker T. Yeah, I'll do it. Hey, when am I getting time on the show, though? When do I get to go to Evolve? When do I get to go to NXT? Never. WWID is dead, for a lack of better terms. I don't know. It's just, again, this is what I've been trying to say, that the independent scene should be doing the developmental for every promotion. I'm cool with WWE having working partnerships with like they used to do with OVW and Florida Championship Wrestling. Like, OVW is not a WWE promotion, but they had working partnerships with OVW, and OVW trained John Cena and Randy Orton and Batista. Some of the greatest, Brock Lesnar, I think, came out of OVW. Some of the greatest wrestlers in WWE history came through the indie scene with a working partnership. I'm cool with WWE working, having a working relationship with independents to help. Hey, we have this talent. They're a little raw. Can you help train them? Sure. And they'll make them a feature wrestler on OVW's roster. What I'm not okay with is what the WWID program said. Hey, look, you're not technically a WWE wrestler yet. We're just promoting you. We're using your name, image, and likeness. We'll give you a social media reach that you could never get. By the way, you can't work every indie company. We can, you know, whatever indie date you work, we have to approve. But we're not, you know, you're not going to wrestle in NXT. You may wrestle in Evolve a little bit. But good luck, right? No. We'll give you access to the gym, but you can't work any of our main shows. We're just going to promote you, and it's up to you to find bookings at approved venues. Crazy. I think it's totally crazy the way that they're doing developmental right now. Meanwhile, on the opposite side, you have AEW, who doesn't even mess with developmental because they shouldn't have to. They're focused on, hey, here's a good wrestler. He's developed already. Can we work with his company to get him on our show? How many times now in the past several signings have we heard of wrestlers being duly contracted to New Japan and AEW, or like Konosuke Takeshita, was it DDT Pro in Japan as well, has three contracts. Two Japanese companies have him under contract, and AEW has him under contract. Like, Beast Mortos has a CMLL contract and an AEW contract. They're duly contracted. Both companies are paying them money. This is how the system should work. Hey, somebody comes for the Young Lions and Tony Khan loves them. Hey, at New Japan, I know he's under contract with you. Do you mind if we work with this guy? We keep him, you know, contracted on our roster, and he can work his New Japan schedule. But when he has a free time, and when he can he come over and work AEW? Can he be one of the people that are adamantly featured in Forbidden Door and a storyline there? And we'll send him over, or maybe it's, hey, we have this guy like Konosuke Takeshita. He is under AEW contract. Hey, we'll let you contract him so that if he wants to wrestle the G1 Climax every year, we'll send him. Let's work together. Let's build an ecosystem, a talent pipeline together, and not excluded from the rest of the industry. That's how talent pipeline should work. Like, let's take the wrestling industry as a whole and make it better. Instead of, isolating ourselves and putting walls up and saying we have our own pipeline, but they can't get out of the gates. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. I don't have a whole lot more to say about this this topic. The developmental system in WWE is dead. I think we've seen enough proof to prove they can't develop talent anymore the way they used to. Look at their top guys. They're all old school. Even Finn Balor was developed, not by WWE. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Tonga Loa, Fatu, all of the Anoa'is outside of like Roman Reigns were trained outside of WWE system. Seth Rollins was trained out of the system. They can't, they didn't develop this talent. Like the biggest critique I always get when I talk about the developmental, well, AEW doesn't develop talent. They just take talent from other people. Yeah. So does WWE. Half their roster was trained in another place. That's part of the business. Oh, you took Samoa Joe from us. Yeah. And you took Samoa Joe from TNA. You took AJ Styles from TNA. Took Seth Rollins and CM Punk from ROH. Oh, no, no. Seth Rollins came through NXT. Yeah. After he came through ROH as Tyler Black. Well, CM Punk, he came through ROH. Oh, but John Cena, yeah, he started with y'all through that talent program. He's loyal. All right, you got one. What about Nick Wayne? NXT's building him to be a big bad baby face as soon as he can heal from his broken foot. He hasn't worked in any, he's just been working the indie scene. He worked in his dad's training facility. What about Darby Allin? He didn't work in any major company until AEW. I can't say the Bucks. I can't say Kenny. I can't say Hangman. They were New Japan. That's fine. Whatever. Kyle Fletcher. He wasn't a big household name until he got to AEW. Surely he worked in New Japan with Ospreay. But Fletcher wasn't as big as he is now. You know, that's the whole point. That's why I loved the territory system. Was one, it opened up the pocketbook. If you wanted to retain this guy and not have him go to another territory, you're going to have to pay him more. That's why AEW is so great, right? You're going to have to pay him more in the territory. You want, if you wanted Greg Valentine, if you wanted Andre the Giant, if you wanted Dusty Rhodes, you were going to have to pay him Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. You're going to have to pay a pretty penny. The moment that exclusive contracts were entered into the wrestling business, like that's when the territories started to suffer. I'm not a big fan of exclusive contracts. If Mercedes Moné wants to work with AEW and CMLL and New Japan and Stardom and Rev Pro and Body Slam Wrestling in Denmark, and she wants to work all these indie scenes, she should be allowed to. I don't like exclusive deals in the wrestling business. But anyways, join the Discord. Join join all our links. We'll be updating the Discord links and all of our social medias to take it from the old link to the new link here shortly. But join the Discord. Go to junkyardmediagroup.com. Look at the website there. Beyondthejunkyard.com. Get some of our merch. I'll be updating that merch site here shortly. Other than that, guys, like, comment, subscribe. Let me know what you think about the developmental system in WWE. Is it good? Is it bad? Does it help the industry? Does it hurt the industry? Until next time, y'all, I'm Junkyard James. We'll see you next Thursday with the live stream. This has been the Beyond the Junkyard Podcast. Stay saucy. Beyond.